Continuing today's news at one, despite objections, the government approves plans for a gas reserve terminal. We'll be talking to Energy Minister Dara O'Brien. Plus, more from Brussels and Washington on the standoff between the United States and Ukraine. And what can be done to tackle the high rate of school absenteeism.
At Energia, we know you want your business to be the business. The bee's knees, the cream of the crop. Energia can help you save big on your energy costs with flexible and competitive rates that really are the business. Switch at energia.ie/business or call 0818 363744. T's and C's apply. Energia, think of the possibilities.
How about we take a spin after dinner? Just the two of us.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. And then maybe we...
Yeah?
Then maybe we... Maybe we pick up the kids from Granny's.
Yeah, they've training in the morning.
With Volkswagen's dual-drive plug-in hybrid range, you can switch modes seamlessly. And with an electric range of up to 142 kilometres, you're ready to switch to any mode. Search Volkswagen e-hybrid range or visit your local dealer.
Volkswagen.
T's and C's apply. Real-world driving experience may differ.
You're welcome back. The government has given the go-ahead for the development of a liquefied natural gas terminal, which it says would serve as the state's emergency gas reserve. Last year, the High Court overturned a decision by An Bord Pleanála to deny permission for a gas terminal in County Kerry. The decision comes on the day that two government advisory councils are warning that unless further action is taken, Ireland will face a multi-billion euro bill for failing to meet EU climate targets. Speaking earlier at Leinster House, Jennifer Whitmore, who's the spokesperson on climate change for the Social Democrats, said more detail on the LNG plan was urgently needed.
There hasn't been any discussion about this at all. There was a report commissioned last year by the former minister. It was the Cambridge think tank. And that report was actually to analyse, given the, you know, the current situation that we're in, whether or not an LNG facility is required. We haven't received or seen sight of that. In fact, I raised it last week in the Dáil to ask that before any decisions were made, that that publication be released. I think it's really important that any plans or any decisions about LNG need to be based on science and evidence, and we're not seeing it. I would have concerns about us locking in infrastructure for fossil fuel development, but equally, you know, there are obviously energy concerns, energy security concerns, but we do need to have that discussion. We need to see the full analysis of what's been done, and it's what we've heard from government is that it will be state led. We haven't heard whether it will be commercial or non-commercial, and that was the previous proposal, that it will be a non-commercial temporary emergency facility. That's not the vibe I'm getting from the minister at the moment. They talk about it being state-led, but he's not specifically saying it'll be non-commercial. So I think we need to get some clarity on that from him before any decision's made.
Jennifer Whitmore there of the Social Democrats. Well, we're joined now from our Leinster House studio by the Minister for Climate, Energy and the Environment, Dara O'Brien. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
Let's try and fill in some of those details. Where will this gas come from and where will it be stored?
Well, firstly, look, it's a significant decision that government made today. And this is about providing for energy security and resilience and making sure that the risks that have been identified through the National Risk Assessment on Energy Security are dealt with. And like we have an oil reserve. We do not have a gas reserve. So the location of that wasn't dealt with today. What is really about moving forward with the policy decision from government, that the risks that have been identified very clearly as part of the energy review are dealt with. And that's actually part of our climate action plan as well. So location is not dealt within this. Obviously, would be part of a normal planning process for this as well. But I as energy minister, you know, I'm responsible to ensure that our country has the energy it needs and indeed has the reserves that it needs should there be an unexpected disruption to our gas supply.
All right, just on the location though, to clear this up, is the site already identified near Tarbert in North Kerry? Is that the preferred option?
No, and I want to be careful just in relation to Tarbert, because as you'll know, that particular development is subject to legal proceedings and was in
I noticed from a local radio report, your colleague Norma Foley was talking about this on Radio Kerry not that long ago.
Yeah, and I'm certain there are people who are advocates for that particular project. What I'm looking at is the objective of securing reserve supplies of gas to ensure that should there be a disruption to our gas supply, that the state has backup, basically, and has backup for the period of time where that gas supply will be brought back on stream. Like, this is still ensuring that, you know, that security is in place, the resilience is in place, as we continue our journey on the move and continuing the move to renewables.
All right, and just
doing,
going
which
back,
we're successful
just
on.
Going back then to the original question, mm-hmm. Where will this gas come from?
Well, the gas will be imported. We have right now, obviously, we've gas from Corrib, which is a diminishing supply, but we have, and then we have two gas pipes from Scotland. So the majority of our gas is imported. I would expect that this gas in the future and LNG would be imported also, and it would be managed through this floating storage and regasification unit that would only be used, and I just want to be very clear on this, that would only be used in the event of an emergency.
Yeah,
emergency is a disruption to our gas supply.
One of the concerns, as you know, one of the concerns of mm-hmm. people who object to this project is that it could result in the importation of fracked gas.
Understood. And I understand that. And I think the policy decision today was to effectively go with the legal position, which was the legal advices that the previous minister got as well, about it. We cannot differentiate between what type of liquid natural gas comes into that terminal, and that would be contrary to EU procurement law. So the policy statement of 2021, which, to be fair to Minister Ryan, my predecessor, had said was in place until this security review was concluded, no longer remains in place. But the procurement of that gas would be a matter for GNI. And I just want to deal with something that the Deputy Whitmore mentioned.
All right, before you go on to that, and I was going to ask mm-hmm. you about that, because as
sure.
we were saying, we want to clear up a number of issues here. Just on the importation of fracked gas, you can't rule that out.
No, I can't. And I want to be very honest with people. You know, we will have procurement guidelines set down, and that will be managed by Gas Networks Ireland. And obviously, this is a gas reserve that would only be used in extremis. We're still moving forward and accelerating the delivery of renewables, energy, particularly wind, onshore and offshore, which we've a great resource that we're working towards to tap into. Also solar, biomethane, all of those various different renewable sources. This is about a reserve. So in the event that there was a disruption to our gas supply, that the state would effectively be able to underpin its energy resource by this reserve. And I think most people would understand that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And yet 12 academic experts wrote to the government just last week warning that what you're doing here is risking the deepening of Ireland's reliance on fossil fuels.
No, and look, I want to be very clear, and I understand that, and I respect everyone's views in this regard, and this is a complex issue. I'm charged as well with our climate targets, and you know, we are accelerating the delivery of renewables, certainly, and onto our grid. We've got to strengthen our grid too, but we need to deal with the risks that are there. Like, the people who are listening in here will, I'm sure, understand that if there was some unforeseen event that happened that cut off our gas supply, for argument's sake, from Scotland, right now, as I talk to you, that reserve is not in place, and it's urgent that it is there, that we have that reserve, like we have with our oil reserves as well, that are in place through our national oil reserves, and we don't have the same for gas, and we need to have that in place.
All right, so under what circumstances then will the gas be used?
Only in the event of an emergency, and that is very, very clear and set out in the government decision and the memo. And this will be a state-led strategic gas emergency reserve, state-owned and state-managed, owned by the state, and only in the event of an emergency, which would be a disruption to our gas supply. So it's not about increasing the use of gas within our network. If anything, we're reducing that, but it still is a transitional form of energy. We're now up to on average about 33% of renewables last year as well, and we're increasing that substantially. We're increasing solar. We're going in the right direction there, but I think most people would understand that where there is a risk that's been highlighted very, very clearly, and this is about the operation of our businesses, our homes, our hospitals right the way across the country, mm-hmm. that we need to be prepared for that. These yeah. are things
so
that may not
be
have been envisaged
before. So will there be any commercial
before.
Involvement, any outside involvement in this?
No, I don't know. We've been very clear in the memorandum and the decision I got that it's a state-led strategic gas emergency reserve. It's not for commercial gain. This isn't a question of additional gas coming in to be sold in to allow additional usage of gas. This is gas that's held in reserve in case and in the event of an emergency. And really, that's the right thing to do. And I could not ignore that advice, nor should I. And I think it's the right thing to do that the Energy Security in Ireland to 2030 report really backs that up, that it is one of the areas that they've highlighted a significant risk. And that risk is... It could be, if something happened, would be catastrophic, okay. and we need to deal with it.
As you say, though, this comes on the same day that the government's advisers on climate and the economy are warning that the state could face an enormous bill for failing to meet climate yes. targets. Do you accept that the bill could be as high as 26 billion euro?
I listened with interest this morning to your colleagues in Morning Ireland with the Irish Advisory Fiscal Council and indeed with the CCAC. And I fully respect what they said. Our targets are exacting, and rightly so.
Not exacting enough, they would say.
Yeah, understood. And really what we've seen in the last 2 years, even whilst our economy has grown, that we've seen a reduction in emissions and quite significant reduction. We're seeing an increase in renewables, where I agree with both the CCAC and indeed IFAC, is we need to accelerate the investment in our grid and the investment in renewables. And in my previous role, I led in relation to the establishment of the Marine Planning Act and the Marine Area Regulatory Authority. And what that will do now is ensure that we have a one-stop shop and a streamlined system to deliver the offshore renewables that we need, particularly offshore. And we've more capacity to do onshore. But we have made progress in the last number of years, and it's not something that we should just ignore either.
Do you accept, though, what they're saying, that the bill, as things stand, could be as high as 26 billion euro?
There's a very broad range that's given within that. And I don't think, in fairness, I think even to both of those organisations today, the range was quite vast in relation to what that would be. Our challenge.
Well, they say it will be many billions.
Yeah, but our challenge is to ensure that we work as hard as we can to achieving our 2030 targets. And they are exacting a 51% carbon emission reduction. That will not be easy, absolutely. But what we've seen in the last 2 years, we've seen actually last year a 6.8% reduction in emissions. That followed a 2% reduction in emissions. Some sectors doing particularly well in that regard. But really for us, this green transition is needed. It's good for our country. It's good for our climate. It's good for energy stability, good for energy security as well. And to continue to reduce our reliance on fossils like
yeah,
this year
but it
now.
Was clear from what they were saying this morning, and we're talking here about two separate groups that advise the government. They've come together to say we're not doing enough and this is going to cost us.
Well, what they said is that it's better to invest in climate action at home to improve our people's lives and build our energy independence, reduce our emissions, rather than transferring money elsewhere to purchase compliance. And I completely agree with that. And that's why very shortly we will be bringing forward our investment plan for 2026 to 2030 in relation to our grid, which will be very, very significant. And I listened intently to Mary Donnelly and indeed into IFAC this morning. They're very important stakeholders. These targets are not easy, but it's right that we do everything we can to achieve them.
So you'll be listening to what they said and you'll be taking it on board?
Well, I always do, and I absolutely do. And I met with the CCAC just last week, actually, they perform a very important role. But look at where we've come from. Like, peat is no more in relation to energy generation. By the middle of this year, there'll be no more coal going into our energy system for energy generation as well. So we have taken steps. The retrofitting programme that we have across the country, the new built homes that we have in relation to the NZEB houses that we have, nearly zero energy. Our heat pumps, are all of the investment.
But you
that
accept
we're doing,
that a lot more is needed?
Unquestionably. But what we have to do whilst we're doing that is ensure that we secure our grid and secure the energy resource that is there. This government is absolutely committed to our climate targets and to continuing the change in the production of energy for green, clean energy. That is a real opportunity for this country to be a European and a world leader. We've increased our interconnection. We've a new interconnector with France now, which will be energised quite shortly. We're now able to import energy. I want us to get to a stage where we can export energy. But these are, you know, there are certain things here that conflict with each other. And I understand when people actually see, well, you know, the need to have a gas reserve. That gas reserve is there to secure our energy resilience and only to be used in extremis. We're going to continue to expand the delivery of renewable energy right the way across this country over the next few years.
All right, Minister Dara O'Brien, thank you very much for joining us from Leinster House this afternoon.